Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, human suffering, mental conditions, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
Join us today when we find out a puppy can never be convicted. I'm Adam.
Come on down to the Wobbly Ladder Warehouse, where we punch holes in our competitors' prices.
I'm Andy.
Humans are the only animals to use power tools, but I'm not sure that proves we're intelligent. I'm Kelly.
Pow, pow, power tools. I'm Sean, and this is Acid Pop.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we're talking about the horrible world of power tools.
I mean, we could just start off with the Sanders and move down from there.
So, etymology of power comes from Latin posse, which means to be able. So, to power something is to make it able to do something. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Makes sense.
And then it went to French poyer, and that went to power. And then Old English tol is for instrument or weapon, which is appropriate for what we're going to be talking about today.
Power
so this
weapons.
Is an able instrument.
Yep, you got it. The phobia is kind of a recent one, but it would have to be. It's ergolilectrophobia.
Ergolilectro?
All the live long day.
Ride-di-di-o.
So this comes from Greek ergalio, which means tool, which, damn, that's a long way to say tool.
Yeah.
And electrismos, meaning electricity.
Electrismos, that's a Harry Potter spell for you.
So our acid pop quiz this week is going to be pathetically short, but unfortunately, when you just take power tools by themselves, they're not very interesting.
Tell that to my stepfather-in-law.
It's not the tool, it's the way you use it or fail to.
Exactly. That's what we want to get to. So basically what I've got is I have a list of ER visits based on power tools, and I would like you to rank them from 1 to 5.
We're doing like a Family Feud sort of thing.
But I'm just going to tell you what they are, and you just put them in the right spot.
Except for somehow Wiener's on there, and Steve Harvey looks shocked.
The old lady said it.
So 1 is the most ER visits as a result of this tool, and 5 is the least. So where do you think power drills are?
Okay. I'm going to put that at a 2.
You said which one was the most?
1.
I was also going to say 2.
Because I've seen people like using power drills with a board on their leg.
Well, and people always have to use them as a gun at least once.
No, this is a drill.
Well, yeah, you hold it and go,
woo-hoo! Yeah, yeah, you go, woo-hoo!
Oh, I see.
And your children run into the room.
Right into the drill.
Spin around.
I just feel like things are going to get worse.
Yeah.
Like when we get into electric cutting machines. So I'm going to say 4.
Oh, Kelly got it. It is 4.
Oh, man, I thought for sure there'd be tons more puncture wounds or people like drilling into their walls and hitting wiring.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it. So since you talked about cutting things, let's talk about circular saws.
That's going to be up there.
See, I feel like there's so many safety things on there. And at the same time, I built a table using a saw where all the safety things had been disabled.
They just slow you down, Andy.
Yeah.
Apparently, I wasn't comfortable with it.
Think how much faster your hands will move once you drop the weight of those extra fingers.
If your glove gets caught in that, it just...
It ruins your glove. You gotta buy a new one.
It does. My good glove. 2 again.
I'll say 3 this time.
This one I do think is at 2.
Adam got it to 3.
Right down the middle?
Yeah, take that.
I'm gonna be right eventually.
That's not true.
Something's gotta be
Oh, no, the last one you could get.
What about a nail gun?
Oh, that's one you have to use as a gun.
Yeah.
It's true.
It says it in the name.
Some places call it a power nailer.
I'm going to say 2.
They used to call me a power nailer. I'll go with 2 again.
That's my number one choice.
Oh, Kelly got it. It is number 1.
Hmm. It does seem like one of those ones that would be, once again, like Adam said, pow, pow, pow. Or the guy with the stupid plank on his leg.
Don't you have to be like licensed to use those at construction sites?
Nope.
I was going to say at construction sites, I used one just recently.
You can have one at your house.
Yeah, you can just go down to the store and buy one. So our last 2, so here you go. You got a 50-50 chance of getting these in place. We have
chainsaws, and we have snow blowers. And our positions left are 2 and 5.
Chainsaw is at 2.
Snow blowers at 5.
Yes.
Wait, snow blowers have big blades in them, though.
It's true.
A chainsaw is a big blade.
But I'm sticking with Adam on this one.
I'm sticking with the same logic. I mean, it's a big spinning blade.
Yeah, well, and chainsaws you use all year round.
That's true. Yep, you guys got it. So the numbers for these, and this, I don't think I mentioned this, but this is for the U.S., and there are 37,000 nail gun ER room visits, 36,000 chainsaw, so pretty close, 10,000 circular saws, 5,800 drills, and 5,700 snow blowers.
I'm actually impressed that many people are injuring themselves with snow blowers.
I'm telling you, there's a...
Yeah, we'll get into it.
One, there's a big rotating blade in there. Two, if it catches a rock and you have the wrong kind of pin in there, that thing will just fuck you up.
Well, and everything's slippery when you're using snowblowers.
I learned when you become a janitor, that what you learn very quickly is how not to get all your limbs eaten.
Yeah, I don't even know why they call it
a snow
blower. It really would be more appropriately be like the snow dicer or something. And that was all of our acid pop quiz. So now we're going to get into the very juicy stories.
Juicy.
So I ordered these by how I thought was least to most awful, though your opinions may differ. And I also tried to break it up so I didn't get a lot of the same tools back to back.
Got a bunch of tools.
So December 27th, 2010, in Plainsville, Illinois, 15-year-old Kenny McGill was in charge of clearing the snow from around his family's house. He'd been given specific instructions to keep his hands away from the main blade of the machine.
Yep.
There were less specific instructions, however, about avoiding the second blade at the exit chute.
Christ.
The second more dangerous blade.
So when Mr. McGill reached in to clear away some clogged snow, he came out with 1.5 less fingers than he started with.
Yep.
Yeah. Surgeons were able to reconstruct his middle finger, but half of his index finger was lost.
At least he kept the important one.
Gotta have that middle finger.
Yeah.
Is that because it was immediately put on ice?
Yep.
Yeah, but it's tossed into the air and you gotta find it in a pile.
They used a snowblower to find it.
Well, I suppose all you have to do is find the red snow. Yeah.
That's true.
I figure there's going to be a lot of red snow around when you're gushing blood from your missing finger digit.
And certainly after he started spinning around in circles and screaming.
I don't know why he's doing that.
Could be anywhere now.
Kenny McGill sounds like kind of like a backwoods name.
I was going to say, it sounded like some sort of like folksy song starter or something.
Y'all heard the story of Kenny McGill.
So our next story, May 13th, 2015 in Ferndale, UK. 69-year-old Edred Jones was cutting some timber with a circular saw. Suddenly, his left sleeve got caught in the saw, quickly drawing his left hand into the blade. In an instant, the saw had severed his left hand. Mr. Jones then ran next door and knocked, yes, the article says knocked, on his neighbor's door.
Excuse me, sir, could I borrow a cup of bandages?
Oh, pardon me. This is terribly flustering. But
I hate to be a bother.
I seem to have misplaced an entire hand.
So the neighbor used a tea towel as a tourniquet.
It's getting more British all the time.
And then called emergency services. Amazingly, after a 9-hour operation, Mr. Jones' hand was reattached and he regained some of its use.
Medicine is bitching.
Yeah. It doesn't look pretty, though.
That British health services, he probably didn't even pay a dollar either.
So our next story, February 9th, 2012, in Oxford, UK. Araz Zale, a handyman, was helping out a friend by fixing some metal panels on the side of his fast food kiosk. Mr. Zale was standing on an industrial-sized container of mayonnaise with 1 foot on top of a table, drilling
I feel like I've seen this again.
And he was drilling a hole through a metal panel with an electric drill when he slipped and fell towards the wall.
Oh.
He pulled back to find the drill had punched into his chest.
Ugh.
So Salam Kiras, who he was helping, tried to stop the bleeding, but that wasn't working, so he ran to the kiosk next over for help. Emergency services were called, and Mr. Sailor was taken to the hospital, but he died the next day due to a stab wound through his heart.
That's kind of what I figured would happen.
Yeah, like, ugh, what are the odds?
He's drilling through metal while standing on mayonnaise, and a man with a bowl cut didn't come in and go, "You knucklehead."
The slipperiest of all condiments.
What do we have around to stand on? Step stool? No. Why did they have industrial-sized mayonnaise first?
Well, it's a fast food kiosk.
I guess.
Should I stand on the mustard? No, I hate mustard. I don't want my shoes smelling like mustard.
But I love mayonnaise. Mayonnaise has never let me down.
Kiosk sold mayonnaise by the cup. Mayonnaise in a straw.
This is the worst business we've ever opened, but we're still in business.
Give me a shot of the white stuff. It'd be the slowest shot. Just
hang on. Almost there.
It's like the opposite of a wheatgrass shot.
When you're short on calories and time.
Concentrated egg fluff, please.
So on April 20th, 2007, in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 26-year-old Damon Hotala was working on a ladder with a nail gun framing a house. No one witnessed the accident, but apparently Mr. Hotala slipped and fell off the ladder with his finger on the trigger. Nail guns are built with a safety that won't allow them to fire unless there's a significant amount of pressure on the other side of the gun. So you can't just fire it off into the air. It has to be pressed up against something hard, like a board or your head.
A chest.
Co-workers found him on the ground with a nail sunk 3 inches into the right side of his head.
Oh, that's the origin of Pinhead.
The most dead mob boss ever. So Mr. Hotel's death was ruled as an accident, but and no autopsy was performed because it seems...
So he didn't successfully frame the house for his death.
So yeah, gotta watch them nail guns.
Well, and here's the thing about working with nail. I worked with a staple gun.
Yeah.
And it does require the pressure there, but at the same time, I'm watching these things punch through this wood and thinking, man, I'm so glad that I did not like try to brace my hand on the other side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'll hold on to this good and tight.
Well, because these things bend as they go through, so it doesn't go straight through where you're going. It goes, fink!
Oh, yeah. So our next story, February 15th, 2017 in South London. 30-year-old tree surgeon, which didn't know that was a job you could have, but I think I missed my calling.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look into that.
That ant studied for years to become a surgeon.
Patients always die before he can finish.
Grigor Bulbeck was pruning a large tree with a chainsaw.
Just like doctors.
Oh, your arms are getting a little long there.
Suddenly, the teeth of the chainsaw caught and kicked back, and this sent the chainsaw straight into the left side of Mr. Bulbeck's neck, severing his jugular vein. So his co-workers came running to find him dangling from his safety line. They threw up a ladder to get him down while they called emergency services. The paramedics arrived and briefly managed to resuscitate Mr. Bulbeck, but they were unable to keep him alive and he died shortly after.
Well, yeah, chainsaw.
Apparently that tree wanted to keep its limbs.
Yeah, at any cost.
I've seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
This accident happened in a park that just so happened to be across the street from a primary school.
Jesus.
Oh, no.
But I could not find anything stating whether anybody from the school witnessed the accident. So,
well, no, but now there's a haunted chainsaw ghost across the street.
Yeah, seriously. So our next story, August 30th, 1986 in Costa Mesa, California. Two workers on a construction site were attaching boards to a concrete wall with a nail gun that fired 4-inch nails or 10 centimeter long nails. They accidentally had a board positioned with no concrete wall behind it when they fired the nail into the board. Without the concrete to slow it down, the nail shot through the board and continued on until it encountered Salvador Bernal, who just happened to be walking by on the other side of the wall.
The
nail didn't maliciously seek him out.
No, it didn't go down the hallway.
It's a smart nail.
So the nail entered his right side, passed through both his lungs, and severed his aorta on the way.
How far away was he from the wall?
Not very far, like 2 feet.
Okay.
Pressed up against the wall, like, what's that pachunk noise?
I watch a lot of police procedurals. This sounds like a hit to me.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good hit.
So we don't know what happened. I went to fire my nail gun and there was a bullet in it.
Manufacturer error.
This nail covered in poison, which was in my nail gun.
So Mr. Bernal was rushed to the hospital, but he died shortly after arriving.
Yeah, severed aorta.
Yeah, both lungs and aorta. It's like...
Yeah, that's a heck of a shot.
Yeah. It's just going to like fill your lungs up with blood until it reaches the hole the nail made, and then it'll start to spill out.
Adam, you think that's a weapon in Sniper Elite 4, a nail gun?
Make for a pretty cool X-ray slow-mo.
So our next story, May 5th, 2005 in Eltham, UK. This one is pretty bad, so it won't hurt my feelings if you want to skip ahead past this part.
Okay, I'm going to skip.
Okay. Roland Pudney was out doing a bit of gardening with a chainsaw. He had climbed up a ladder to prune a tree.
Is he cutting weeds?
I hate flowers!
So he'd climbed up a ladder to prune a tree, but the ladder was a bit wobbly, so he asked his wife to come and steady the ladder for him.
Oh, no. Margaret, get out of there!
So as Mr. Pudney was working away, the couple's new puppy came running to play and jumped up the ladder.
It's getting worse!
Suddenly, a cherubic-looking schoolgirl came up wanting to sell candy that she was selling to save her mother from cancer.
So now we spin the wheel and see who gets the axe.
Oh, no.
So when the puppy hit the ladder, Mr. Putnam fell off the ladder arm swung out, chainsaw still in hand. It struck his wife in the neck. Mr. Putney screamed for help as he tried to stop the bleeding coming from his wife's neck, but sadly, she could not be saved.
That poor man.
But the puppy survived.
Yeah, he went to a trial because he inadvertently killed someone, and he committed guilty to involuntary manslaughter, essentially, and apparently, like, the whole time, he was just a wreck.
Well,
yeah,
I would imagine.
Yeah. How could they even, like, convict him after that?
I can't even picture in my head half of my wife's neck gone.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
Did they also try the puppy?
He was an accessory.
As we know, all dogs go to heaven. So, acquitted.
So, moving on, because as I said, I ordered these from least to most worst.
Least to most, okay.
Yep.
The worstest.
In my opinion, the worst is still yet to come.
The worst is yet to come.
So November 20th, 2008 in Bishopstoke, UK, David...
Why are so many of these in the UK?
I don't know. They seem to use chainsaws a lot over there, according...
Mandatory training with power tools.
I guess not, actually. They just give you one on your 18th birthday.
The place where you can't buy a long knife is just giving out chainsaws.
Well, you figure by the time we're going to make those stupid, irresponsible mistakes with a chainsaw, we've already killed ourselves with all our guns, but they don't have any.
It's true.
Hey, guys, look, I made a shotgun chainsaw.
So David Fiol was the last tenant of a building that was scheduled for demolition. Mr. Fiol had been fighting the redevelopment for some time, but after several attempts in court to stop the process, he finally lost and was ordered to move out. So Mr. Fiol didn't really feel like moving, so he did what anyone would do in his position. First, he got a chainsaw. Then,
sounds like me so far.
He thoroughly attached it to a table leg just off the floor.
Okay.
Next, he taped the switch into the on position. Then, he got an electric timer, set it for a few minutes, plugged the chainsaw into it, and then plugged the timer into the wall. Finally, he laid face down on the ground with his neck resting gently on the blade of the chainsaw.
I would want firmly.
So after that, all he had to do was wait. So since he was the last person in the building, it was several days before he was found. His parents had been coming over to visit, and when they found the door lock and their son unresponsive, they called the police. The police broke in with a crowbar and found the gruesome scene. Sergeant Carter said, "I have never come across an incident quite this graphic." And apparently, like, the living room was just basically a half inch deep in blood after this guy...
Yeah, well, he had the switch taped on, but there was no exit strategy for to turn the chainsaw off.
Nope, it just kept... It
probably just ran out of gas.
Well, it was electric, but it whirred away until it got...
Electric gas.
The teeth got caught in his spine. So,
oh, fun!
It didn't quite make it all the way through, but certainly far enough to do what Mr. Fiol intended.
He wanted to be completely bisected?
I don't know.
There's gotta be better ways to do that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways to commit suicide, and chainsaw is pretty far down on my list.
I'm gonna say, one, if you ever consider committing suicide, please call a hotline or talk to somebody. Yeah. Second off, chainsaw on a stick, he made a Rube Goldberg suicide machine.
Yeah, I just feel like, as far as getting even solutions go...
Yeah, that'll teach them.
They'll have to clean this room before they demolish it.
Oh, wait.
Not a good choice.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Write a stern letter.
Get a different apartment.
Yeah. So our final story.
That wasn't the last one.
I thought it was the last one.
Nope, we're not done yet. So this next one is maybe not so bad because the guy actually lives, but we'll get into it.
In which a nail gun gets loose in a kitten factory.
Somebody stop it.
It just keeps on putting pressure against the kittens.
It's August 15th, 2003 in Lake Tahoe, Nevada.
What?
Hey.
Ron Hunt was working on top of a 6-foot ladder with a power drill boring a hole into the ceiling. The ladder he was standing on started to wobble, so following procedure, he threw his drill aside before he fell.
Okay.
Yep.
That sounds smart, I guess.
Good so far. Mm. Unfortunately, he didn't throw it very far. As Mr. Hunt fell, the 18-inch long, 1.5-inch diameter, or 45-centimeter long, 4-centimeter diameter drill went through his right eye and out the back of his head. This is a drill bit that's like thicker than a broom handle. And this
Welcome to Ron Jeremy's drill bit.
So in Mr. Hunt's words, when the drill hit, it just exploded my eye. It skewered me. I ran my hands up the drill bit to my eye and put the other hand on the back of my head, and I felt it coming out the back of my head. And that's pretty much when the shock set in. So a coworker runs up, tries to stop the flow of blood, and then runs next door to tell them to call the paramedics. When the paramedics arrive, they release the bit from the drill and took Mr. Hunt, still with the drill bit through his head, to the hospital.
Well, yeah, you don't want to pull it out.
Yeah.
No, just put it in reverse.
Well, so doctors took some x-rays and they found that the drill had miraculously pushed Mr. Hunt's brain out of the way as it passed through.
What?
Pigeon.
What a thoughtful drill. Yeah.
After several specialists studied the injury for some time, they eventually decided to basically unscrew the bit from his head. Which is nice. It's basically designed to go in and out of holes. So,
you know, I was going to say that there's two options here. There's you can unscrew the bit, or you can clip off the end and just kind of plaster over the area.
I don't know if you could find something that could clip through a drill bit that thick.
Jaws of life.
Very big nail clippers.
So Mr. Hunt suffered no brain damage, and though he did need to have 2 titanium plates to patch the holes in his head.
And 1 titanium eye.
But this is our modern day Phineas Gage.
Man, at that point, you have the drill bit melted down to make your false eye.
I'm still trying to picture how this happened. Did the man just throw the drill instead of aside, just like up into the air above him?
Comes down right on him.
Are you supposed to throw it? And he just throws it between his legs. No, basically this drill was it wasn't like a little hand drill. It was like a big ass, like 2-handled monster drill. And so he threw it, but this thing weighed like 40 pounds. So he couldn't throw it very far. And since, I don't know if you've seen these things, but they're sort of a box with 2 handles on it and the drill bit coming out the middle. So when he threw it, it just kind of settled with the drill bit pointing straight up. And then he fell on it.
He fell down on it. It didn't fall down on him.
Yeah. He was on top of a 6-foot ladder. And so he fell that distance and landed on the drill and didn't lose consciousness at any point during this whole thing. Jesus.
At that point I would have been wishing
for
it.
Yeah, seriously. Priority one, pass out.
Somebody knock me out.
Mama said knock you out.
Do you think he was like me when I break my arms and he was like, it's probably fine. Yeah. I'm good. I think it's okay.
But when you broke your arm, did you get to reach to the back of the arm and feel something poking through?
And that was our final story for the day.
Anybody ever cut themselves with a chainsaw? Huh?
I worked as an elementary school janitor for 2 years with 2
special people.
Yeah, let's call it that. And during the summer, we would go out and prune the trees with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Which I always stood quite a bit back, and they both made fun of me for this. Like, oh, look at the big pussy. Like, well, yeah. One, you're standing under her while she's cutting downwards with a chainsaw, and she often gets through a limb and completes that thing all the way to the ground. That's where I learned about the snowblower, because none of us were allowed to use it.
Oh, really?
After the accident.
Why'd you even have it?
The boss was kind of a crazy lady. She had the snowblower, but she wouldn't use it because you had to use the special pins that if it got caught on a rock, the pin that turned the blade would shear off.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That happened once, and then she bought long bolts that didn't have that in it. and broke it. She got yelled at, and then after that, nobody was allowed to use it.
No, nobody can have any fun.
And when I was building my table, like I said, my stepfather-in-law has all these nice power tools. He's disabled the safety features on many of them.
And he just leaves them running 24 hours a day.
Like, his circular saw was just a saw, just sitting there. And he's like, okay, now you're going to cut this. Try not to chop your arms off.
Thanks, Dad.
Or at least just one.
So does this man like you?
I guess. I have a table.
Let's step into my workshop, Andy. Let's talk.
Is that the rack?
Safety blindfold.
A true craftsman doesn't need to see his work, he feels it.
But I would just watch these two work with power tools at this school and go, oh my god, that is so dangerous. And then I'd consider whether or not I'd get a day off if one of them lost a few fingers.
Yeah.
You probably could.
My dad and my grandpa were both at some point in their lives like union carpenters. They learned pretty hard and fast the rules about power tools, and they taught them to me. So I haven't really had any dangerous encounters with a power tool. But my dad did tell me one pretty great story that I'll share with you. So I guess there's this certain brand of table saw, which I should have looked up. I don't remember which one it is. But it has a mechanism in it that if it detects something soft and fleshy going towards the blade, it turns the blade off. And
how does it know?
I don't know. No idea. But the guy who invented this table would showcase it, and he would bring a hot dog for his example. So he would like move the hot dog towards the blade, and then right before it would be chopped into oblivion, the blade would stop in an instant. And
I've actually seen videos of this. Yeah.
My patented hot dog sensor.
He did this lots of times. Then, you know, he's like, oh, it's amazing. It's the best thing ever. And then one day somebody was like, why don't you use your actual finger then? And he went, okay. And so with sweat pouring down his forehead, he fired up his table saw and moved his finger towards the blade. And lucky for him, it worked just as planned. So he still has all his fingers.
I once stapled two fingers together on accident.
Oh, really?
It wasn't a power tool, though.
It was just a stapler.
It was just a regular stapler.
You sound like you're going to cry.
Yeah, I get a little choked up.
I don't like to talk about it.
Like I said, using that staple gun, I imagine nails don't bend as much, but those staples going through wood, they're just like, bwong.
My mom used to prune the bushes outside our house with a chainsaw, and probably not the best approach, but, you know, the bushes got cut down, and they...
Well, those...
Gets the job done.
Those hedge trimmers are basically like chainsaws with bigger teeth, aren't they?
Yeah. The place we lived, I don't know. I feel like it must have once been a nuclear power plant or something. All the plants grew weird. So, like...
Eyes and teeth.
And a healthy glow at night.
Well, things would grow like triple flowers on a single stem. Or we had a basil plant that was taller than I was. And it was just...
Weird.
It was just a weird place.
Where was this?
This was in Folsom, California. So the bushes were a little unruly. We had a rose bush that every year you would cut it down to just literally the stump. And the next year it'd come back bigger than ever, but the roses would be different. So we used to have short stem roses, and then they were long stem roses. And it was just one of those things.
Weird.
But she was cutting the bushes with a chainsaw, and she did not cut herself, but she did cut through the power cord of the chainsaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom did that with hedge trimmers once.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, of all the things to cut through that she shouldn't have cut through at that time, that was probably the best one.
Well, yeah, it's designed like that. Once you cut the cord, it's an auto-release.
Yeah, it's a safety feature.
Yeah, unless you don't cut all the way through. There have been a couple people that have managed to electrocute themselves while using a tool and cutting through the cord that was powering said tool.
Electric Chainsaw is my band name.
That's
well,
a cool band name.
Not to do it again.
I kindly ask that you no longer cut the chainsaw cord in half.
All right, well, if nobody has any more stories, then we're going to move on to what are your morals worth? Here's what I need you to do. I have got a professional juggler's chainsaw. And
professional juggalo.
I want you to do one successful juggle. You have to take this chainsaw, throw it into the air, have it complete 360-degree turn, and catch it. How much would I have to pay you to attempt this feat?
Can I practice with, like... A fake chainsaw first?
Yep, you can practice whatever you want.
Oh, man.
I feel like I'm going to fail at step one, throw a chainsaw into the air.
You can use two hands.
I can't even, like, regular juggle.
2 million.
2 million, huh?
I'm going to lose an arm. I feel confident that I could get the chainsaw in the air and get it to rotate. I don't feel confident that I couldn't get it to rotate more than I needed it to.
Yeah. To get paid, I need to catch it successfully?
Yep.
Or just attempt it?
Nope, you got to catch it.
So if I lose a limb, I'm not going to be compensated for that.
I think that counts as catching.
But I also feel like I could, like, if it looks like it's coming down it the wrong way, I could get out of the way and then try again.
Yeah, you can try as many times as you want.
Okay. I'm gonna go 1 million.
The fewer times underneath a falling chainsaw, the better.
Right. I mean, that definitely lowers your odds.
Still go with 2 million.
I think I charged 5 million for the Wheel of Amputation.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is a more brutal Wheel of Amputation because it could come for my head.
Yeah.
So I'm doubling it.
Oh.
10 million.
So your head's worth twice of any limb on your body.
Yeah, well.
Good to know.
It's the thinking bit.
Oh, man. You know, I can juggle.
That's the moneymaker.
So I feel like I could do it. I'm probably overconfident, but even at that.
That's what killed Sean.
Well, here's the thing about juggling. You don't juggle over your head. You know, I'd have to move my head into the way of this thing to get it to cut through my head or neck. So as long as it's just flipping out in front of me, the worst I think that could happen is I lose a hand. So
I think you like both your hands, though.
I do like both my hands. You're right. I don't think 50,000 is enough. I think I got
to
go
up. I would like to point out that I also like both your hands.
So double whatever price you're going to put on it.
100,000? Maybe a little more. 150. Oh. Yep. I'll say 150. I would do one chainsaw juggle for 150,000.
Sean taught me how to juggle, and I feel fairly confident. I'm still asking for $2 million.
All right. Well, that's all we've got for this week. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
All right, I'm going to get started, so we can get Kelly out of here.
So this one's about power tools?
Correct.
Get your Tim Allen impressions ready, Andy.
Araz Zela, a handyman. Let me say that again. That sounded
the handyman
was the handiest of men.